Hello, everyone. Welcome to High School Sports Uncensored. Now I get a chance to be like a geek, a fan. I'm going to try to be as down the middle as I can, but it's going to be tough on me because growing up, I considered this guy to be on the Mount Rushmore of local coaches, and the older I got, the more I found out how big he was nationally for high school basketball. And now I love the fact that I can shoot him a text and we sit there and go back and forth about basketball. Joining us today is the legendary Coach Bob Wade. How are you, Coach?
I'm doing fine, Bob. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. Good. Doing well. Look, we talk. I think I love about this. We've had Mark Amatucci on. We have Biff Poggi on. We've had other local coaches on. But I love it because we just do a lot of storytelling here.
Okay.
And we had Mark Amatucci on the initial show.
Right.
And he talked about the battle between you two, not only in the recruiting world, but also on the floor. And how it was just so competitive when Calvert Hall and Dunbar got together.
That was one of the epic battles of all times. It was just a great event, not just for the two respective schools, but for the community. It was a tremendous turnout out there at Towson State University. Mark had a class group of kids, and Dunbar had a class group of kids. It was just a tremendous battle, and you know, even though we lost, I just thought it was great for the city of Baltimore and for high school basketball in general.
Now, the one thing I know, Coach Wade, every coach on a youth level has a story as to why they got in. Some stories aren't that great because some get in for the wrong reasons, but the one that stand the test of time like you did, they have a story that kind of pulls the heartstrings of those of the ones that come behind you to get into the right way. What's your story? What got you into coaching on a high school level?
Well, what really gave me the bug was my high school coach. My high school coach was the legendary Bill Sugar Cane. Mm-hmm. May he rest in peace. Mr. Cane was like my father. My father deserted my mom when I was 4 years of age, mm-hmm. Mr. Cane was like that male role model in my life. And I wanted to emulate him as much as I could. So I used to pattern my style after him as far as the way I try to carry myself. And I took some bits and pieces from his coaching philosophy when I got the chance to, the opportunity to coach. And I really looked up to Mr. Cane. So he was a guy that I try to pattern myself out after. His offensive philosophy was, you know, he liked to play a lot of zone, but he was in your face kind of guy, and I did not do the zone per se because during my time, the defensive philosophy kind of changed, you know, where it's in your face, mm-hmm. type of defense. We played a lot of man, we trapped a lot, but that was the gentleman that really got me started, Mr. William Sugar Cane.
Now, I'm very familiar with him. I remember the field used to be Cane Field, am I right?
Yeah, they named the football field, yeah, the right. Cane Field, correct.
Yeah, and from Dunbar, you went on to Morgan State University. You played collegiate ball there, football.
Yeah.
Tell us about Morgan, because a lot of Hall of Famers came out of that program.
Well, back in the day, I was fortunate enough to receive an athletic scholarship to attend Morgan State University as a quarterback, Bob, mm-hmm. Rob, to believe it or not, as a quarterback. But, you know, there were like three guys in front of me, mm-hmm. and they used to use me as what they call the practice squad.
You know,
scout team. And I did pretty good on that side of the ball. And I caught the eye of Jesse Thomas, who was a professional, who had played professional football with the Colts. He was a defensive back, played with Don Shula. Mm-hmm. And Jesse was our defensive backfield coach, and I caught his eye, and Jesse started working with me on my defensive technique as far as becoming a defensive back. And I gravitated to that position, and that took me from Morgan, you know, into the professional ranks. I was able to hone my skills, play with a tremendous group of guys: Willie Lanier, mm-hmm. Raymond Chester, Frenchie Fuqua, Mark Washington, mm-hmm. you know, you name them. We had some great kids on that team. And I was fortunate enough to be drafted by the then Baltimore Colts. And the rest is history.
The rest is history. Here with Bob Wade, this is High School Sports Uncensored. I'm your host, Rob Long. You talked about the great names that you played with at Morgan. And back then, HBCUs, historically black colleges, universities, were so important in the black community. And today, I don't think you'll ever have that cast of characters, that many Hall of Famers or All Pros or Pro Bowls on one HBCU team again. How important were HBCUs to you and your peers back then?
The HBCU colleges and universities, they were very, very, very helpful, not just to me, but a lot of African-American youth. At that time, back in the 60s, when I was coming up, there were not too many African-Americans being afforded an opportunity to go to a major university. But I'm just grateful and thankful I had the opportunity to do it because it helped me develop as a person. I felt the professors were more caring. They took time. It was a very close-knit community. Mm-hmm. And we all try to help one another. And we try to help one another then, and we still help each other now. You know, it was a tremendous fraternity. Athletic fraternity or just brotherhood fraternity that was established on those campuses. So it was very, very helpful to me and to many, many others to be given an opportunity because the opportunity was not there back in the day.
Yeah. Now, Coach, tell us about your first high school coaching opportunity.
My first high school coaching opportunity was given to me by it was to be truthful with you, it was out in Clarksville, Maryland. I'd returned to Baltimore from Denver, the Denver Broncos. It was my last professional team. When I came back, I had my degree, and all the teaching positions had been taken. So in Baltimore City, and luckily someone told me that there might be an opportunity in Howard County. Mm-hmm. So I contacted the director of physical education out there in Howard County, and he gave me a teaching position at Clarksville Middle School.
Okay.
And there's a gentleman by the name of Vern Siebert. He was a head coach at Glen Elg High School.
Okay.
He heard that I was a few miles down the road from him, and he came and talked to me, asked me, you know, would I be interested in helping him, and which I did. So my first coaching opportunity was given to me by Vern Siebert at Glen Elg High School in Howard County.
How long were you there?
For 1 year.
1 year?
For 1 year, and then I returned back to the city, and then I was given, got an opportunity to coach at Emerson High School. Mm-hmm. I was there with Charlie Robinson, who was the head football coach, and Art Milburn was a great track coach. Woody Williams, a lifelong friend of mine, was also teaching and coaching there. And I began to help Charlie Robinson with the football team. And then from there, there was a knock at my door to return to Dunbar High School back in 1975, where the late Julia Woodland wanted me, she was a principal, she wanted me to return to Dunbar to replace my high school coach, Bill Sugarcane.
Here with Coach Bob Wade, this is High School Sports Uncensored. I'm your host, Rob Long. You said something, it's funny, you sat down and you asked me what was I doing with the Northern High School hoodie on, and you didn't realize I graduated from Northern in 1989. The school is now Reginald F. Lewis.
Correct.
You had the opportunity to do something that I envy, that I'll never be able to do. I'll never be able to return to Northern High School to coach.
Yeah.
Take me through, like what was going on in your mind and your heart, because it had to have been like just goosebumps, because not only did you return to your alma mater, high school, you also replaced the guy, the man who meant so much to you.
It was a tremendous honor for Ms. Woodland to approach me even, you know, to entertain the possibility of returning to Dunbar High School. And when it did happen, it was a really very eerie feeling to be, you know, sitting in the same environment or office that Mr. Kane occupied at one time. And it was tough. It was tough the first year because Mr. Kane had tremendous success over the years. He'd won numerous MSA, the Maryland Scholastic Athletic Association championships. And he started when Dunbar, Carver, Douglas, they were not allowed to play, to integrate. And they had to play a lot of their games on the road, you know, go to Annapolis, go to Washington, D.C. to try to get games because the predominantly black schools were not permitted to play within the MSA. So there was a lot of history there. And to be given the opportunity to replace Mr. Kane was a tremendous honor. And I felt a tremendous sense of pride. But yes, it was tough the first year because I think I lost 6 ball games the first year as a basketball coach. And some people wanted my scalp, you know, because Mr. Kane was, you know, he had the Skip Wise, the Larry Gibsons of the world, and Charlie Leach. So it was very difficult. But we turned it around, eventually turned it around.
Did people, like, maybe go to other schools because Coach Kane left and they didn't know Bob Wade, the coach?
Yeah. Some of those, well, Dunbar is situated right in the heart of public housing. It was the demographic was, you know, predominantly African-American. But there was a lot of talent within those public housing complex. And a lot of those kids would, when I came on board, instead of coming to Dunbar, they ventured up to Lake Clifton. That was the new school on the block. Lake Clifton, they frequent Patterson High School and Southern High School. And even Northern, they went to Northern. Our mayor, Jack Young, right there in the heart of East Baltimore, he ventured up to Northern High School. So, yeah, we did lose several student athletes when I came on board.
Yeah, I mean, because I could only imagine. I know when I first went to Mount Carmel, there were several kids who decided, you know, with the coaching change, they either didn't want to play or go elsewhere. I mean, that happens. That's part of the game. I want to go back to something and kind of off the grid here. Everything's off the grid. We don't, as you see, we don't have any questions written down here. You seem to pause a lot when you talk about the segregation in the schools. And now, as we know, kids are kind of free to roam as they want. They mingle as they want. The private school sector has really become a melting pot athletically. But at the same time, when you talk about Morgan and not having that opportunity, you talked about how much of a close-knit that it was, a sense of community. Do you think maybe we gained in losing segregation, but you lost in the sense of community?
If you put it in those terms, yeah. And, you know, as I alluded to before, you know.
And I'm not saying I want segregation. No, I just feel like, you know, I wonder if you lost that when you.
I think we lost some. When kids decided to go not to frequent the community high school, that local high school, but to venture elsewhere, you know, I think we lost a lot of what I think community pride, because it was sinful at one time for a person from in the heart of East Baltimore to travel to go to West Baltimore or to enroll in a private school. It was very sinful because you know, you're right there in the community. Your parents can come and see you play. And it was just a sense of pride within the community.
And we're here with the legendary Bob Wade here on High School Sports Uncensored. I'm Rob Long, your host. This is truly an honor. Again, you know, we've had Mark Amatucci, Biff Poggi, now you. I feel like this podcast has allowed me to kind of rub elbows and rub shoulders with some of the greats. And as you know, I try to steal as much information from you as humanly possible.
Yeah, we talk a lot. We talk a lot, Rob.
We talk a lot. I try to steal as much from Bob Wade as possible. Now, You talked about losing the six games at the beginning of the season, your first season.
Yeah.
But in every program, in order for you to get where you were in greatness, starting off with six losses, what do you see as the signature turning point for your program at Dunbar?
I think because that first year we lost six ball games, and the second year we were fortunate enough to have a 6'8" young man to transfer from the new school, which was Lake Clifton, and he transferred into Dunbar High School, and that was Ernie Graham.
Mm-hmm.
Ernie Graham came, and there was a good nucleus there, but Ernie was the guy that really came into the program. His parents attended Dunbar, both his mother and father attended Dunbar, and so Ernest transferred into Dunbar, and he was a key figure that 70, 76, 77 team. Very versatile. He could play inside, outside. You know, I said, Ernie, I need you inside. He said, but coach, I like to shoot the jump shot. I like to put the ball on the floor. I said, but it's called team. You know, it's what you can do to help the team. And he did. He sucked his pride up and played inside. But offensively, you know, we let him venture out a little bit and have to do a little freelance. But I think Ernest was a turning point. Ernest, along with two little guards that came into the program, Dwayne Woods and Kevin Bush.
Mm-hmm.
They came into the program and they were right there from Lafayette Projects, and they called them the Little Mighty Mites. Dwayne was about 5'6" and Kevin was about 5'8", but they were tremendous tremendous athletes. They could really play ball. And believe it or not, Dwayne Woods was the guy who showed Muggsy how to steal the ball off the dribble.
Really?
Yeah, Dwayne Wood, tremendous athlete. But those types of kids really helped turn the program around.
And I guess they became the Pod Pipers when they went, because, you know, players follow players.
Exactly.
And you know that as well as anybody. So now if Ernie's there and if the Mighty Mites are there, and what's going on over there with Bob Wade, especially if they're going back out in the community and they're showing you love.
Exactly. And they caught the eye of several of the other young kids coming up. But I was also blessed to have with me Mr. Edgar Bell. We called him Mr. Lee. Mr. Lee was a youth league coach. He coached what they call the Rockets. And Mr. Lee would pile the kids in his car and take them to different events. And he would tell me, he said, Bobby, don't worry, Bobby. He said, you got some youth coming. And he would work with these kids on a youth level or the AAU or what have you level. And those kids would come to Dunbar, the Dwayne Woods, the Kevin Bushes, the Kevin Woods, who went on to have a great year, went on to University of Tennessee, Craig Talley. I can go and just name folks on and on and on. But that was a turning point. That was a turning point.
That was part one of my interview with legendary high school basketball coach Bob Wade. Stay tuned Wednesday for part two. This is High School Sports Uncensored.